This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are sewing myth-busting.
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 I can hardly say that
16 times fast. How old's this list? Hey, is there like a timestamp on your, you started this note in 2010 or something?
I think it's just the last time I opened it up.
Trying to find it again. Yeah, that's the challenge of trying to look at your phone for things while podcasting is a real challenge.
And I've enlarged it and I didn't mean to and I don't know why I can't make it come back down.
That's okay. Okay, well, let's.
I did it.
ZD's got this list of sewing myths. They've come to us from owning a sewing store, from running the group, from what? Listening to people? You know, anything. There are lots of ways that sewing myths have come to us.
Yeah, I just haven't wrote down one that I don't have on
you got,
here.
You got,
anyway.
Got it down?
Yeah.
Well, the first one
we'll
is
talk
a,
about it this time,
the first but... one's a tongue twister, so go. What's the first sewing myth?
It is about serger thread, and I've got to find it. Okay. Use serger-specific thread in all sergers. Serger thread is superfluous.
Superfluous. Superfluous. So say superfluous serger thread 10 times fast.
I can't say it once.
Before your next. Yeah. Acting or
before
singing,
next
performance,
yeah.
Or after your next margarita, superfluous serger thread. So
right
I
before
think,
you spray the vodka.
So I've heard, I think you've heard this both ways, right? Like you must use serger thread or you don't need
you
serger
don't need
thread.
To.
It's like
right.
One or the other.
Right.
Like never put anything else in your serger
right.
Or you're stupid for buying serger thread.
Right.
Or you're, you know what? You're stupid for selling serger thread. Or you're trying to rip me off for selling serger thread to me.
Yeah,
I've gotten that one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So what's the deal? It's a story, Morning Glory.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
It
depends.
Serger thread definitely has its purpose.
A place for everything. Everything in its
what
place.
What serger thread is, to me, I mean, I like polyester serger thread. That makes it all purpose for me, correct?
Yeah.
And it is of a lighter weight than your normal construction thread that you use in your sewing machine.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? The reason why is because generally you're using more than two threads. In your conventional machine, you're using a upper thread, a needle thread,
mm-hmm.
and a lower thread, a bobbin thread.
Yeah.
On the serger, you're generally using at least three threads. Now, there's always an exception because there are two thread stitches on some sergers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But generally, you're using three. And generally, you're doing an overcast type stitch that's on the edge of the fabric, which actually, you know, takes three threads, if not four, right?
Like you can overlock the edge of the fabric with two threads, but like
you can.
Yeah, you're looping around the edge,
right?
As opposed to the lock stitch,
that's right.
Right?
And you're trying to avoid thread buildup.
Uh-huh.
So even when you're using that two thread looping around the edge stitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying not to make a wad or a bump or a, do you know what I'm saying? You still want something fine. In fact, that's what it's for, is to make a finer type stitch.
So you want something fine until you don't.
That's right.
Until you want some bold edge.
That's right. Until you decide to hem something.
You're right.
Until you decide to do all the stuff we talk about all the time.
And then.
Right. Because the other advantage of your serger is, right? You have at least two loopers in the bottom.
And loopers can handle
bigger threads.
Bigger threads.
So threads of a bigger diameter, a bigger dimension, okay? A heavier thread.
Yeah.
Something that shows up more on the fabric.
So we've sent
But I would not use that if I was just like finishing the inside our edges of a garment.
Or
what?
This is an inside joke.
An inside joke.
The inside of a bag?
The inside of a bag. Oh, yeah, that is an inside joke.
Oh, you should have seen ZD's eyes.
Anyway.
Hey.
Just bringing up bad memories.
Yep.
Or, you know, if I am making a seam on a sheer fabric, mm-hmm. I want sheer thread, right?
Or,
but
yeah, like,
strong thread.
You went low. I like
low profile.
I like low profile for this kind of thing.
There you go.
Okay, so low profile serger thread.
But why are you selling me the serger thread though?
Oh, you sold me a serger. Now you're going to try and sell me serger thread.
You're
not anymore.
Sell me all that thread. I need four spools of everything.
Not anymore. I'm out of that. And I don't own a store anymore.
And you're telling me I need four spools of the same color. Not at our store, we didn't.
No. And also, though, okay, so let's come at this from, like, that view where people are like, it's totally valid. Because you're like, oh, crap, I just dropped $2,000 on this serger.
Right.
Now these people want to sell me, like, whatever, $100, $300 worth of serger thread. Like, I'm like, okay, yes, you're totally right. We're actually, though, in the long run, serger thread is cheaper.
It is. It's less expensive. It's not cheap. It's less expensive.
You're so right,
Thank
Mom.
You.
You're so right, Mom.
We didn't sell anything.
We didn't sell
cheap.
We don't sell cheap things
in
my store.
We sold things that were of value.
Less expensive. But I think it's totally valid that someone comes to you, has sewn for 20 years, 30 years, and then you're trying to sell them some thread. And they're like, no, I've got thread at home. Absolutely.
And
they are
and
correct.
We were very receptive to that when we were selling sergers and serger thread. And we said, here's what we do. Of course, you probably will want to create a thread library for sergers.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we talk about thread blending.
Yeah.
And we also ask you what you sew and what colors you sew, how often.
Okay, but it is less expensive. That's what I want to bring up. Serger thread.
Because you're getting a big hunky spool of thread.
You get this huge spool.
Right.
And the reason it's less expensive is because there's like less, you know, it's less dense.
Right.
Okay.
And honestly, you're going to use more.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sense, you will use more if you're making a seam or
whatever. You'll use more, which is why you don't want to use your sewing thread.
True.
By default. Okay.
Exactly.
So you're actually going to spend more money on thread if you were to use your, you know, conventional sewing thread.
Right.
So that's why serger thread is great and why it's nice to have a library.
And
of
it's why it's just like there's embroidery thread for embroidery. You know, there's construction thread for construction. There are, now, 100 years ago, you were lucky if you just got thread.
Okay. You were lucky if you lived to 40.
That's right.
You're lucky if you
could. You probably would outlive your sewing needles.
It's in 1776 in the musical, and Abigail Adams is asking for pins.
Uh-huh.
You know, steel. I think they're steel, like, or tin. What are they?
They're probably steel.
Something.
I don't know.
You know, she's asking for pins, like. You know, you just think about the things that are so convenient to us now. And we've got all these, you know, all this stuff. But, like, I can't remember. It's really annoying part of the song. She's like, pins, John, or something. Like, she says, they're writing letters back and forth to one another or whatever. But anyway, you know, like, where are you going to get your pins? Where are you going to get your soap, you know, or whatever?
Right.
So, anyway, the serger thread is not superfluous. It's got a place. Now, what I don't like to do, I don't like constructing on the sewing machine with serger thread. I don't like doing that.
Well, it's really
thinner.
Not strong enough.
I don't like it. Yeah.
It should, you know, it's not. Now, you could use two threads.
Yeah.
You know, you could double up. Well, it's just, okay. I use embroidery thread on my serger.
Yeah, there you go.
Especially if, you know, I'm looking for a certain color or
mm-hmm.
something. Now, I don't use the rayon serger
embroidery
thread. Yep. I will use the polyester, which is stronger.
If you're
I'm hemming something.
If you're hemming something, right.
Yeah. I want to match a color.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about the strength of something. I can use cotton thread.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
You know, so I am making something and I'm new and I don't have my full serger thread library. I want to make sure my seam thread, which is my needle thread, right, matches or comes close to, or, you know, is not obvious on the garment I'm making, right? I might use a construction thread in the needle. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you're really desperate, you right. can wind bobbins, you know.
And
if
you that's the other thing. You can buy one or two or, you know, spools of your serger thread. And you
and
can
wind
always
bobbins.
Wind a bobbin
yeah.
for, the, you know, the needle. Now, winding a bobbin for the other
the looper.
Looper is okay, but you have to realize how much thread is used on the looper.
Yeah.
You may run out quickly if this is like a big, humongous project. Of course, just buy another spool.
Well, the other thing is, you know, you're talking about the big cones. I think everybody right. can kind of envision that, right?
Right.
A big cone of thread. One of the things about that cone is that the serger, as it creates the stitch, as the thread is fed in, the loopers are using up thread at a much faster rate, right? Than
Correct.
The needle thread.
Than the needle. Uh-huh.
I mean, possibly like
four times
twice,
as much
well,
or something. I don't
twice
know.
Twice as much. I don't know. If they
oh, have, they loop around there. Yeah, they loop, the needle thread is just making one little bitty line.
Yeah, the needle thread's making the line. Loopers are kind of going around and around,
going
right?
over and over and looping around
so,
each other. And yeah.
So, like, that structure of the cone is very valid. For the
yes.
feeding versus a bobbin?
I have never seen a serger thread that wasn't cross-wound.
Yeah, cross-wound. Like,
well,
yeah.
And if I wind a bobbin,
uh-huh.
I usually don't put it on my spool. I will put it in a margarita glass.
Yeah, let it hop around. Just let
it
feed.
And let it hop around and, yeah. and feed freely instead of making it try and come around the edge of that spool.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Amen. So, like,
that spool.
Yeah, yeah. One of the reasons behind that is the speed at which the thread is being.
Correctly. Right.
Fed off there. So like, serger thread is not superfluous. You can bend rules when you need to. There's a reason it exists. So it's not superfluous, and it's not, you don't, like, it's, you can run other thread through your serger, too, sometimes, if needed, or if you want to.
Right. In Both, fact, we
yes.
do it on purpose.
All the time.
All the time to get a decorative look or a decorative stitch. We do it when I have a baby blanket I make where, you know, one side is flannel and one side is a satin. And that, my hem is actually just a wide serger stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That over the edge. That's how I finish it. And it's beautiful. And I use a decorative heavy thread to
yes.
do that.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're going to take a break.
Aren't we going to?
Yeah,
okay.
No, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come right. back and talk about another myth.
Okay.
Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. And we're going to talk about crotches.
Everybody get ready.
Crotch, 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 crotch.
Five times, Donna.
Donna.
Five times.
I said it, when you say it like that, it's five times, right? It's like crotch, 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 crotch.
There you
go.
One,
two, three, four, five. Yep. Okay. So the myth. The myth is. Okay, we're doing combo. We're comboing.
We're combining. We're talking about fibers, sort of in general.
Fibers and crotches.
In, yeah.
The myth is that people are not allergic to natural fibers. Cotton is the best thing for your crotch. Yeah. All right. So first of all, people are totally allergic to natural fibers.
In fact, more allergic to natural fibers. Okay.
Because
polyester. Okay, is like plastic.
Right.
All right. Natural fibers truly have, you know, big time allergens in them.
Ones
that float around in the air.
Yeah.
You know, they're plants, okay?
Or hair.
Yeah.
Wool. Oh, yeah. I know, like, lots of people with a wool allergy.
Right.
People are allergic to rubber. Rubber's a natural
rubber
latex.
Rubber is natural.
Is latex?
Latex is not.
Is it synthetic?
Yes.
Latex is synthetic. Yeah,
rubber is a tree.
Rubber's a tree.
Right. Yep. And people are allergic to it.
Yep.
Yes, they are. And people are allergic to latex.
Yep.
So you can be allergic to anything, including yourself. So don't think.
You are. You allergic to sorts of stuff.
But we see this all the time, okay, where people go, I have a lot of allergies, so I have to have natural fibers. That sentence really doesn't go together. I believe you that you need natural fibers,
mm-hmm.
that's what works best for you. But it isn't, you know, you can be allergic to anything.
Yeah, the reason we bring this up is, like, you just want to make the right statement or have the right information so that you can avoid your allergens.
Right. Or you don't want to, restrain yourself from something you might be able to have.
Also
so
that.
You're allergic to cotton, but maybe silk and wool is okay for
you. There you go.
Are you allergic to wool? Well, then you're allergic to wool. You're not allergic to natural fibers. Wool is a natural fiber, but it doesn't mean you're allergic to all of them. Maybe you are.
Also,
okay, but maybe not.
Also, I think that, like, you know, everybody needs to take control of their own health and stuff. And I'm not a doctor, as I've mentioned several times on the podcast.
We noticed.
Sometimes, I think I've seen people say, I'm allergic to silicone because it made me raw on, like, a strap or, like, at the bottom of a pair of shorts or something. And if they're allergic to silicone, great. Like, I'm not doubting anyone in particular. But you can also just have, like, kind of a contact issue where the way the silicone is next to your body, it's too rubbery. And you're not allergic
you
to steel, but a knife will
actually,
cut you, right?
you can actually have a sensitivity to something but not be truly allergic.
Right.
Okay? If you're truly allergic to something, it means eventually you could have an anaphylactic reaction.
You might not be allergic to sequins, but having them rub under your arms will cut
it's
you
irritating.
Up. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is
right.
totally valid.
Right.
But just, like, I would hate for someone to say, I'm allergic to silicone, and they're not actually allergic to silicone, because, like, silicone is, like, useful.
Yes.
Sometimes for your body.
Things. Right.
Occasionally. So you don't want to think, I'm allergic to silicone because the bottom of these shorts rubbed me raw.
So
you know what I mean?
Like, I knew someone.
I hate that.
I knew a man who thought, who did not want to eat food that was cooked in silicone. Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. Because he knew it was poison.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what do you think your pots and pans are made out of?
Yeah.
And what do you think a glass is made out of?
Silica.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, everything's made out of something that could maybe leach into something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Especially if it's not used correctly.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't have a problem with silicone bakeware or cookingware. I actually love it. But, you know, if you don't, you don't. But, for instance, can I eat catfish?
No.
I can eat it, but I get really, really sick, okay?
Don't serve ZD catfish.
It's very unpleasant how I get with it. Am I allergic to it? probably not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I probably have just a sensitivity. And there may be a time in my life where I become less sensitive to it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not willing to try.
Am I allergic to poison ivy?
You react to poison ivy, and I would. I don't know if you're allergic because you
yeah,
can
like
get
everybody
it over and over and over again, and you haven't had an anaphylactic reaction.
But, like, I've read that you can get it and not react to it and get it and not react to it and then, like, start reacting.
Well, and
that's
more usually how an allergy
yeah.
or a sensitivity
okay.
happens.
So we'll
you have to be exposed initially to it.
We don't have a definitive right. answer to that. But I just want to bring it up, like, I've worn wool things before that were fine,
yeah.
that didn't irritate me, and then I've worn wool things that did irritate me. And the difference is, like, the way they're processed or woven or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just a lot that goes into that.
Right.
And I want people to be empowered to, like, use what they can. You
right.
know?
Right. Right.
Don't say...
Or be empowered to...
Or to stay okay, away.
I've used two
yes.
different wools. They both bug me. I'm not doing it again.
Not messing with that.
Because
yeah.
I'm not eating catfish again.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Everybody? And I am not theoretically or, you know, it has not been proven that I'm truly allergic to catfish.
There you go.
But
there you
I
go.
Get sick as a dog when I eat it.
Okay, so crotches. Crotches.
Crotches.
Wool, lately, I feel like lots of natural fiber, like wool and bamboo and silks. They're really making this... splashes like sustainable fibers, right? Because they're not plastic. They are natural. They could be bamboo has this reputation of it can be regrown very quickly and
right.
stuff and whatever. However, like it's processed out the wazoo in order to become fabric.
That's right.
But I'm not judging you. Everybody doing the best they can. Okay. However, wool's been making this big resurgence in like knits, you know, and like active wear and
right.
stuff. Whereas in the past,
well,
it's had this.
It's also not
it's had
the
this,
wool
like,
your
tweed.
Grandma knit.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm saying. It's had this reputation.
Like you don't feel it and think, oh, bulky wool blankety stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
right.
a tweed jacket.
Right.
You know, people are making like lightweight underwear
it's
out of
scratchy,
it.
Scratchy, itchy, or
yeah.
something. Yeah.
So anyway, people say cotton is what you must wear on your crotch,
mm-hmm.
or else you'll get. Yeast infection, UTI, this, that, the other thing.
Right.
Right? All, whatever.
Right.
This is, I think, it's like, it's not all wrong. Like, cotton can be a good choice.
Right.
Okay? However, like, other things can be a good choice, and bad things can happen in cotton, too.
That's right.
Like, you know.
And I can, you know, you can go on the.
Tell us about your UTI,
okay.
Mom. No, I don't.
No, you can go on the internet easily and find many a gynecologist, right, or urologist that will tell you a cotton crotch may be conducive
yeah.
to a urinary tract infection because it holds moisture.
That's right. It depends on what is going on.
That's right.
With your crotch.
That's
okay?
right.
Okay, and what you're doing with your crotch, and we take our crotches everywhere with us.
That's right.
I've tried to leave mine behind, but it keeps following
so sometimes
me.
Sometimes for safety reasons,
I mean,
you know?
Yeah, right? Exactly. So if you take your crotch to like the swimming pool,
right?
And you wear cotton underwear
mm-hmm.
in the swimming pool. Well, first of all, then everybody might see your crotch because it'll hold onto water and the underwear will fall off. You know,
well, I was assuming the underwear was under your swimming
okay.
suit, but
oh,
I don't
okay.
know. Which means you've got a lot
man.
Of bulk there
That's
and
right.
you're holding all
That's
this
right.
water.
So,
in.
If you
right.
do something in cotton underwear that gets you real sweaty or gets
mm-hmm.
you, you know, whatever, very like wet, I won't use the word. Everybody knows what I'm thinking. With,
they
you
know. Don't like it, and I think it's a fine word.
I
go ahead.
It
doesn't bother me at all.
I can leave it out of my.
Yeah.
My
humid.
Humectant.
Humectant. It's humid.
That water's going to stay there. And
the whole thing is you don't want like this hermetically sealed
yeah,
thing
you,
around
you don't get
your
the
crotch.
Breathing. Because then
yeah.
people say, oh, well, you want it to breathe or whatever. Well, it's
you
not
do.
Breathing
you
if
do
it's
want
soaking
it to breathe.
Wet, right?
You really do want it to
so
breathe.
So we had like a gynecological dermatologist in our sewing group.
Right.
She's from Australia. And she said, sometimes, you know, if a person is wearing cotton underwear and does hard work or does this
right.
or that, the other thing. Yeah, they can keep wearing cotton, but they might need to, like, change their
underwear.
Because it's too wet.
honestly, that's probably the most important thing, is that you change your underwear because bacteria grows in everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And you will also see underwear or fabric that says it's antibacterial.
Antimicrobial.
Yeah. Well, it might be a little bit, but it isn't all the way. So you can't, you know.
You can't rely. You can't just
My husband used to tell the girls, you can wear those underpants for 4 days. You can wear them forwards, backwards, inside out, forwards and backwards, you know, which we did not do.
No.
But he also had a thing called closed jail, I think we've talked about before. But anyway, the thing is it needs to breathe and it needs to be kept clean.
Yep.
That's the deal, guys.
So if you wear poly underwear and it does, right. like you could find...
You can find poly underwear with a cotton crotch.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. That's true. Because sometimes, right. and see, this is, I wish, you know, people would like be more straightforward about this. And we always were like, but like your crotch, especially if you have a vulva, is like kind of wet and like stuff comes out of it like during the day.
Well, even if you have the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the outside equipment.
Uh-huh.
The equipment that hangs outside or... I actually refer to it sometimes as, I don't want to see that baby bird. Yeah. But anyway.
I have to say it around the kids a lot these days.
So anyway, that can get bunched up and sweaty. So don't think because you have one set
versus
the other set that you don't have to worry about moisture buildup.
I also want to bring up,
Mallory's acting like she's embarrassed to say
yes,
this, but go ahead.
I'm trying to, like, protect someone else's privacy.
Oh, yeah, that too.
But we were talking about material to make leggings out of, and we like to make them out of spandex with this much stretch and all that jazz, right? You know, something with spandex so that it has this much stretch. This person was like, well, I want to put, like, a cotton or, like, can I use, like, a mesh so that it's breathable? And I was like, well... Where
you didn't want to see it either.
Well,
right.
Is that what you're
saying?
Do we need a barrier or not? Is this
like I said? I don't want to see the baby bird.
So there's a line that you need to figure out in the context of this garment. Like breathable. Like breathable is a weird word
and
here.
Spandex,
you know,
spandex can be breathable.
I mean, it can.
You know,
but a lot of times, why there's a cotton liner in things in sporty fabric, in sporty fabric and underwear, in a legging or something, is to absorb moisture.
Right.
It's like to pull it away from the body a little bit because you're putting that on like a moistury area. We don't cotton line the knees of something.
No.
Okay, you know, we don't cotton line like, yeah, exactly.
Right, you're covering something that's already moist.
Yes.
Ugh, oh, I said
Mom
the word.
Mom did it.
I said the word.
ZD said moist.
Sorry, but I don't find that word offensive. I can tell you some words I find offensive.
Yeah, that's not one that bugs
me. That would not be the one.
Bugs other people, but anyway, so.
Well, you know, all this stuff is sort of arbitrary.
Oh,
okay, I think everybody should have this information. You know, you can make the crotch of your underwear anything. You just have to make sure that stuff gets to breathe on occasion. You just can't keep it tied up and warm.
But if you
because that's what grows stuff.
Yeah, but if you do notice a pattern, I wear these underwear for 3 days, and then I end up with a yeast infection.
I hope it's not the same pair.
No, right. Okay, but, like, I wear underwear made of this, of like, this nylon or this whatever, and then I have a yeast infection.
Right.
Okay. Maybe, yes, absolutely. Right. So I don't want to say...
And it might not even be the fabric. It might be the way it's made.
Yeah, totally, totally. But, like, you can have that, like, for sure. And people are like, oh, my gosh, if I wear that stuff. There's other things that can happen. You can, like, break out or you can have, you know, all sorts of other things going on. So I don't want to say it's not a pattern. But, once again, it's kind of like with the allergy thing. I'd hate for someone to think I can only put cotton in the crotches of my underwear.
Right.
And it limits their ability to, like, do something else. Like, you know, they or whatever. So you gotta gauge. You gotta feel empowered to experiment a little bit.
So
right?
I often use my husband's race shirts as the crotch liners to my swimming suits and things. And that's been talked about before. And it's the breathable. you know, polyester supposedly wicking fabric.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can get a, so I'll have a layer of spandex and I'll have that layer also there.
Yeah.
And that works out very well for me.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, do just sometimes these like hard and fast rules, you know, I just don't want anybody to think.
Well, they shouldn't be hard and fast rules. Yeah, it was a myth. And that's why we talked about it. It was
exactly
a myth to begin with.
Exactly.
Not all underwear has to have a cotton crotch.
That's right.
Not what works for everybody. A nice breathable nylon crotch will work. A nice breathable, you know, polyester crotch might work. Yes, if you're worried about having something there to absorb something, maybe you want a cotton crotch, okay? There's all those things. But like I said, the doctors aren't sitting there in their offices and telling you, not every doctor, some might, okay, but not every doctor is saying, yes, the cotton crotch underwear is the best thing for you.
That's right.
That is no longer a truism.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for listening. We'll have some more myths to bust.
I have an underwear story, and it just happened to me, so I might as well
tell.
Is
it a good one?
Well, it could be.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So my husband and I, we stayed on our cruiser last weekend, and it was like 6:30 in the morning, and I wanted to go, you know, up on top deck to get something. And I came back down, and he said, so were you up there just in your underpants? Well, I had a T-shirt on. I said, yes. And he said, I can't believe you went out there in your underpants. I said, it's 6:30 in the morning. My underpants cover more than most bathing suits. And I figured it was low risk situation. So I'm just saying, it's arbitrary whether
is that
you're...
Is that your story?
Well, I'm just saying, it's arbitrary. Like, nobody would have known that was my underwear, right?
Yeah, I guess.
They would probably thought it was my swimsuit.
Depends on your underwear.
He was the only one that thought it was...
Okay.
You know, joke's on him. You can walk around in your underwear and people don't even know it.
That's right. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We hope we helped you with some myth-busting about superfluous serger thread and cottony crotches, okay? ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.